Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's Saturday the 19th of August. I'm Kira Revens, and this was a week that saw things go bad for Irish banks. RTE breakup with Ryan Tubridy, Donald Trump indicted again, and tributes to the Chacho King.
Grab a cup of something hot. Put up your feet and get up to speed on the seven biggest stories of the week. This is the Standout 7 from the Smart 7 Ireland edition.
It's news,
but not the news.
It was a terrible week to be an Irish bank. There's been criticism about how slow the banks have been to pass on interest rate increases to savers, but quick to increase mortgage rates. That's all been brought into focus as the government is planning to extend the bank levy, which has been in place since the global banking crisis, into 2024. Finance Minister Michael McGrath said that the terms and conditions of the levy will be looked at before Budget Day in October.
In light of the level of profitability that the Irish banks are enjoying at this point in time, I do believe it is appropriate that the levy would be extended into 2024, and I would be recommending that to government.
But People Before Profit TD Paul Murphy thinks that the government isn't doing enough.
It's all very well for Simon Harris or Leo Varadkar or the government in general to criticise the banks, but they are not hapless bystanders here. They have powers.
Plans are being made to invite representatives from the major Irish banks to appear in front of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Finance, Public Expenditure and Reform. Minister for Further Education Simon Harris made his feelings quite clear on the impact the banks' tactics were having on ordinary people.
It's utterly offensive for Irish banks to be complete and utter laggards when it comes to passing on the benefits to those who have money on deposit in relation to interest rates. I mean, the interest rate increases are causing real painful situations for mortgage holders right across this country.
And as the pressure built, Oireachtas Finance Committee Deputy John McGuinness said that it's time to think about penalising the banks through the banking levy if they don't start to play ball.
The central bank seems to be standing to one side, and the ECB is not giving any leadership in this. We saw in Italy where the 40% tax and the manner in which it was introduced was very poor. But Italy, Spain and others are looking at ways and means of forcing the banks to respond.
That all paled into insignificance, though, as Bank of Ireland and its ATMs took centre stage on Tuesday. It all kicked off as social media filled up with images of queues at Bank of Ireland ATMs, most of whom were able to withdraw up to €1,000, whether or not they actually had the money. It was caused by a massive IT glitch in Bank of Ireland's systems that saw their online banking website and app collapse. And Irish Independent technology editor Adrian Weckler says he's not surprised it happened and it might well happen again.
In many cases, the actual IT systems themselves are very old and they're made, it's a hodgepodge of different systems built up over decades. So when an update is attempted, software update, firmware update, feature update, often what happens is some chink falls down and knocks the whole thing over. I'm afraid I expect to see things like this happen again.
Bank of Ireland says the glitch has now been fixed and apologised to customers. But the big question remains, do the ATM bandits get to keep the money? Dr. Owen O'Dell, Associate Professor of Law at Trinity College Dublin, told Claire Byrne and RTE Radio 1 that even if the Bank of Ireland left a pile of cash on the counter, there's no such thing as free money. although there are certainly people all over Ireland hoping there might be.
If you take money out of my bank account, if you take money out of my back pocket, in both cases it's theft. If I walk into the bank and take money out of the bank machine with the card, or I walk into the bank and take the money off the counter that was left there overnight, in both cases it's theft. So that's exactly what it is.
Another Grant Thornton report dropped on Wednesday. This one looked in detail at the complicated payments to Ryan Tubridy. The good news for him is that it found he had no involvement in what happened to be adjustments to his published earnings, and that he did, as he said, waive the €120,000 loyalty payment. He issued a statement expressing relief and hope that he may yet return to RTE Radio. RTE board chairperson Seanan Rahalig spoke to RTE's own News at One, and she was pretty damning about the failings highlighted by this latest report.
It does point to basically a lack of communication between the executive and the board, which points to the culture at the time.
And RTE weren't out of the woods yet either, with the Public Accounts Committee calling for further hearings. And Niamh Smith TD, the chair of the Joint Oireachtas Media Committee, said she's keen to hear from the full RTE board who presided over this mess in the first place.
I think the next step for us as a committee might be to hear from the actual board. I appreciate Maya Doherty isn't the chair at the moment, but I understand that the deputy chair, Ian Kyo, is still on the board of RTE, and a lot of the board members themselves would have been there throughout all of this, and it might be an opportunity on foot of this report to hear from them.
Things went off the rails though on Thursday evening as RTE announced that trust had broken down during negotiations with Ryan Tubridy and that he would not be returning to the station at this time. It comes after the latest Grant Thornton report and Ryan's subsequent statement about the 2020 and 2021 figures, which appears to have caused an issue. And Director General Kevin Backhurst appeared live on the RTE 9 o'clock news to explain why he reached the conclusion of the negotiations.
I spent a great deal of time over the last few weeks in negotiations with Ryan. I felt we were in a good place. We had a core agreement for Ryan to come back. And then the statement was issued, which, you know, once again questioned the newly stated salaries, which are correct.
Not everyone was surprised to see things come off the rails. Terry Prone of the Communications Clinic thinks Ryan has said too much publicly and it's just too difficult to see him back on the air while investigations continue.
It's like having a loose tooth. When you have been wounded, as Ryan perceives himself as having been wounded, he is always going to want to fiddle with the wound. If he's interviewing a celeb who's been through bad times, to do a throwaway remark like, well, I have suffered myself in similar situations.
Donald Trump has been hogging the spotlight all week once again in the US, but this week began with more news on Hunter Biden, the Republican Party's obsession. US Attorney David Wise was appointed by Donald Trump and has spent 5 years investigating Hunter and finally agreed a plea deal on unpaid taxes and a gun charge, but the deal fell apart in court. Last Friday saw Wise granted full special counsel status by US Attorney General Merrick Garland, and you think that maybe that might make the Republicans eager to keep Donald Trump happy. Well, that wasn't the case. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who previously requested special counsel protections for Wise, now says it's an awful appointment.
Well, this appointment is camouflage and it's cover-up. I think it's disgraceful. Listen, David Wise was the U.S. attorney handpicked to lead this investigation, who spent the last 5 years covering it up.
Monday evening saw the long-awaited Georgia indictment for former President Trump. He and 18 others, including Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, and former White House lawyer John Eastman, have been charged on counts of racketeering and conspiracy to overthrow the election. Racketeering is punishable by 20 years in prison. Georgia's Fulton County DA, Fannie Willis, says that she wants a trial date within the next 6 months.
As is the normal process in Georgia law, the grand jury issued arrest warrants for those who are charged. I am giving the defendants the opportunity to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, the 25th day of August, 2023.
So the front runner for the Republican nomination, Donald Trump, is now a quadruple indictee. He has to turn himself in, along with 18 co-conspirators, by next Friday. But he's promising a dramatic and comprehensive presentation on Monday at his Bedminster Golf Club, which will prove election fraud in Georgia, a claim that has once again been rubbished by Republican Governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. In a moment that every news producer dreams of, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton was live on MSNBC as the racketeering indictment dropped. But she managed to keep a straight face and not shout, "I told you so," at the top of her voice.
I don't feel any satisfaction. I feel great, profound sadness that we have a former president who has been indicted for so many charges that went right to the heart of whether or not our democracy would survive.
Republicans have supported Trump through all of the charges so far, and even his greatest critic, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, isn't impressed by Fani.
She's been investigating this thing for two and a half years. Jack Smith comes in within the last year. He swoops in, he charges quickly, and she said, whoa, wait a second, I've been looking at this. I'm sure what this indicates is there's not cooperation right between her office and the special counsel's office.
The death toll from the wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui continued to rise all week, with more than 110 bodies already recovered. There are still many more unaccounted for, and Maui Police Chief John Pelletier says the fire's intensity has made it difficult to identify remains.
The remains we're finding is through a fire that melted metal. We have to do rapid DNA to identify them.
The fires practically leveled the tourist town of Lahaina on the west of the island, destroying more than 1,000 residential homes and many local businesses. Hawaiian Governor Josh Green says the monetary loss from the fires is huge.
The losses approach $6 billion in estimate. The extraordinary thing is to have this leadership from D.C. They can begin to look at how we can rebuild, but also how we can get resources to our people who have lost almost everything.
The island of Maui has a number of famous residents, including Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac, who owned a bar and restaurant that was destroyed. He's already flown aid in for his workers and their families. Oprah Winfrey also lives on Maui part-time and has been helping efforts on the ground.
In a week or two, all the cameras will be gone and the rest of the world is going to move on with their lives. And we're all still going to be here trying to figure out what is the best way to rebuild.
There's also the head of the Emergency Management Agency in Maui, Herman Mandea, resign. He's been under pressure because of the decision not to sound the alert sirens as the fire spread. He said he was worried that people would flee towards the mountains and straight into the path of the fire. There was also a grim warning from Hawaii Governor Josh Green that the wildfire might not be an isolated incident.
It was a fire hurricane, and I want to warn the entire planet about this. We have to all do right now what we can to stop global warming and reverse it.
So to come on the Stand Up 7 Island edition, Leo opens up and we pay tribute to the king of talk shows
right after this. Welcome back.
On Tuesday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar opened up about his sexuality, his relationship with his partner, and how he sees Ireland has changed since he came out. Speaking on the Cura Feeling podcast, Taoiseach revealed that he and his partner Matt no longer post so many pictures of themselves on social media. He put this down to what he believes is a rise in casual homophobia.
I feel there's been a move backwards in the last year or two. Like, I remember the day of the marriage equality referendum, you know, a huge yes vote. And I remember that day in Dublin Castle in the square, thinking that things could only ever get better. And I definitely do think in the last year or two, there's been a kind of a snapback and an increase. Homophobia has become a little bit more acceptable again.
In the 30-minute podcast, he also spoke about when he came out to family and friends and how he believes in marriage and how times have changed for young LGBTQI plus people. He also revealed that he and his partner thrived during COVID, mainly due to him being at home more often and them spending more time together.
We're 8 years together now, believe it or not. So our second date, which we kind of treat as our anniversary, was the Mayo Dublin semi-final.
Okay.
Back in 2015, I think it was, when I was Minister of Health. So it'll be 8 years now in a few weeks' time. And 3 years now living together. So a very good relationship.
We've had every possible take on Meghan and Harry, you would think, but you'd be wrong. Monday saw an unexpected Meghan ally speak up, none other than Ice Cube. He was asked about a tabloid newspaper's headline, "Harry's girl is almost straight out of Compton," famously used about Meghan back in 2016. She and Harry felt it was racist and described the debate that followed as a horrible experience. Ice was happy to defend his former neighbour.
Some great people that come out of Compton. You know, some of them are better than the people that come out of Beverly Hills. But I think, you know, when you're in the house, you can make more changes to the house than when you're outside of the house.
The UK lost another showbiz legend on Thursday with the death of interviewer extraordinaire Sir Michael Parkinson. He was quite simply the king of TV from 1971 to 2007, with over 2,000 celebrities facing him for a gentle but firm inquisition. There were tributes from big names and former guests, including Michael Caine, Elton John and Angela Rippon. He was 88 years of age and passed away after a short illness in the company of his family. This is one of the most dramatic moments when George Michael gave him his first interview after his LA arrest back in 1998. Rest in peace, Michael.
I can remember being 8 or 9 years old, and my mum would allow me to stay up only to watch the Parkinson show. She thought it would be a bit of quality watching. She probably wouldn't have been quite as thrilled that I had to take my willy out to get on here.
You've been listening to the Smart 7 Ireland edition. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hit the follow button and have a great day. Give us 7 minutes and we'll give you the world.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Kira from the Smart 7 Ireland edition. Just to let you know, we're pausing this podcast from Friday the 25th of August, but you can still get up to speed in just 7 minutes if you search the Smart 7 and catch up with our UK edition. Thanks for listening.